Welcome back, everybody. I'm joined this half hour by my special guest, Dan Cotter. He's a member of Dickinson Wright PLLC in Chicago and author of The Chief Justices, an expert on the federal courts. Been a litigator for a number of years, president of the Chicago Bar Association for a year, current president of the National Conference of Bar President. He's taught the University of Illinois at Chicago College of Law, which some of us used to know as the John Marshall School of Law, knows a lot about what we're talking about this afternoon. Let's get into what I have been unable to articulate really clearly and well on a consistent basis, Dan. And I want to share this with our listeners. And that is this. Again, yesterday, the House of Representatives introduced a bill that has basically zero chance of making it through the Senate, I would like to think. But it seeks to bar federal court judges from issuing nationwide injunctions. They're doing this in response to a number of judges like George W. Bush appointed James Boasberg, who has heard cases challenging some of the Trump administration's actions, and some federal district courts have issued injunctions of nationwide applicability. That is occurring at the same time that the Supreme Court of the United States, through what is called its shadow docket, and I'm going to define that in a second so that everybody knows what we're talking about, through its shadow docket, seems to have a new decision rule. And that is through its shadow docket, where the Supreme Court will issue a temporary ruling, a ruling that is only going to apply until that case is fully litigated and fully argued before the Supreme Court sometime in the future, which could be months and months in the future, will step in and provide one or the other parties to a case some temporary relief. It's called the shadow docket again because the Supreme Court isn't required to issue a written opinion, though they sometimes do. And on the shadow docket, the court is not required, again, to author an opinion or say who voted which way, though they sometimes do. Through the shadow docket, the Supreme Court's decision rule seems to be, well, anytime there is any action by a lower court or appeals court that is contrary to Donald Trump's political aspirations and accumulation of power, well, then we'll step in and we'll provide relief to the Trump administration. At the same time that Republicans in the House and other Republicans are deriding federal court judges for actually exercising powers specifically contemplated in the Constitution to help parties seek redress as cases move forward. Dan, help me explain this better to people because it's a little bit of wonk, right? I guess maybe the best way to summarize this is it seems to me that Republicans want one set of procedures and rules about what judges and justices can do when it's their team, and a completely different set of procedures, powers, and rules when it's the other team. Is that a fair assessment of what's going on to a certain degree?
Yeah, I've written extensively about that. I think when there's a D in the White House, the unitary powers and what they grant is often shrunk, right, in terms of the ability. In terms of the shadow docket, you explained it greatly, and it's called a shadow because, again, it's not a full brief. It's a lot of times these things aren't fully done at the appellate level. Justice Jackson, one of the dissents this week on a couple of emergency applications, called it a fly-by-night approach and that it's dangerous because, again, there's not full briefing, there's no oral arguments, there's no real discussion amongst the justices. They mostly issue what's known as a per curiam opinion, which means nobody signs it. And these things are dangerous because in terms of these things, they're playing with people's lives, right? This isn't, the fund issue, whether that was an emergency or not, the return or issuing the funds under USAID, but we have lives at stake here, and they're in the worst prison in the world. And so it's called a shadow docket. It was named by a University of Chicago professor because it's not in the light of day. It doesn't have the same, just as you described it. And it does seem like there's a difference. In Trump's first term, I think he did 49 emergency applications, and 28 or 29 were granted, an astonishing number. And they're making substantive law now. They're talking about cases. They're talking about, they said that in this case, that the person had a right to a hearing, all these people, but it has to be out of Texas and not the D.C.
Well,
District Court.
and they're in El Salvador. The court said nothing about how these individuals who have already been deported are going to have their rights vitiated. They said, "Yep, you have a due process right," but they're no longer here. It's sort of
And
absurd to put just very. And I'm going to get these exact numbers a wee bit wrong, but in Trump administration one, so 2017 to 2021, there were 49 applications for this kind of emergency relief on the quote shadow docket. I believe the total across George W. Bush and 2 terms and Obama 2 terms. So literally Donald Trump 4 years, we're talking about 16 years across those two presidents, that there was a total of about like 12 or 13. It was some shockingly low number. Those emergency requests by the Trump administration are exploding in his second term. Dan, we're going to have to leave it there for this afternoon. I thank you so much. Will you come back soon? We'll talk more about this because this stuff is
I'll come back
endlessly
anytime you want.
interesting. I appreciate it, sir. Safe travels back from DC. Folks, when we come
Thank
back,
you.
let's talk about who's actually winning to the tune of hundreds of billions of dollars as a result of all of this chaos Donald Trump is wreaking in the global economy. Here's a hint. It ain't you or me. Come right back on the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network.